This is going to be fun.
Is it, though?
Why? What?
Because healthcare, is it really fun? No, it's not.
Oh, that's the intro if I've ever heard one. Welcome, everybody, to the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. And if that's how we normally start the podcast, great. If not, it's because Zach Jenkins isn't here because he's a sleepyhead, which means I have two wonderful people here, one being our executive producer and commander-in-chief, Lexi Beck, and then first-time guest, long-time listener.
Such a long-time listener.
I really want to just read off your phone number instead of saying your name. And that's funny because I don't have her name saved in my phone. It's just her phone number. I refuse to save it.
And I also refuse to save Zach's phone number. So it's a mutual thing.
But for the easy listening of the podcast, we will call her Gabby.
Hi.
Unless you want a fruit nickname like I gave your husband.
No, I'm okay.
No. So this
we can leave Clemmy alone.
This is Clemmy's wife. If you don't know who Clemmy is, go back a few episodes. Let's Talk About Depression episode, which people are still listening to, which is fantastic. We're almost at like 100 downloads with that one. We're going to talk about healthcare.
Woohoo.
I'm in healthcare. Okay, so this was kind of your idea. This was literally one of the first things.
It was one idea.
Okay, but one of the ideas, we're just not ready to tackle yet. Because there's nothing we can contribute to.
Fair.
The other one was like super deep and heavy, and I needed Zach here for that one.
Yeah, that's definitely what I needed him for.
And the last one, I have no idea how to even compose an outline for that.
What's the last
one? Also don't.
So it was like how theater and dance impacted your life. Or, but which I think would be fun.
Yeah.
But I also don't know how to, like...
How do I do that?
Yeah, it would be a good one if you could ever get Gabe back on.
It's a fantastic idea. Wow,
That's why she's your executive producer.
Exactly.
See? Gabe off the island in the Q&A podcast.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him, too.
Well, that also means he hasn't listened to it, so...
Or he just isn't as petty as Sarah.
So I work in healthcare. Gabby works in healthcare. Lex does not, but I told her...
I did... Nursing one.
And did then, you really?
Yeah, and then I did 1 week of nursing two, and I was like, nah, this isn't for me.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. Why wasn't it for you?
Because it's terrible. I feel like maybe if I just stuck it out.
You'd hate your
but
life.
But I hated the clinical, which I feel like is...
Like 100% of the job.
I would, like, I found myself being like, I want to be in class for like 8 hours rather than being right here.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So
if you stuck it out, you'd hate your life and you'd come home miserable. And then I would be miserable because I had to live with a miserable person. Okay. So you quit. Yep. I was in nursing school too. And quit.
I didn't quit. I withdrew.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I failed nursing too.
I failed nursing too by 0.6 points.
I failed by 0.2.
Ugh.
Why would they not round up?
Because they...
Where'd you go, Samaritan?
No, I went to Maria.
Oh, that's right. I thought they passed everybody.
But yeah, no, I failed by 0.2. And the director at the time sat me down and said, I think maybe you should reconsider some other professional options.
What?
And I was like, wow. In the words of my husband, go kick rocks barefoot.
Okay, but you look back at it now that you hate healthcare. Do you wish you had taken her advice?
Kind of, yes. Yes.
Wait, so when did you do nursing school?
So I started in 2014 and I graduated in 2017 because I had to wait a year to get back into... like where I left off. Now they run it like year round. So if you fail a semester, you can just kind of like jump right back
in. Oh, I get it now. Okay.
If you meet requirements. But back then you had to wait the full year for that specific course to come back around.
Wow. I don't think I realized you have been a nurse for that long.
Yeah.
Do they do it like that because there are no nurses anywhere in the capital region, so they're just trying to pump them out?
There's a huge shortage, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's no bueno.
No bueno.
It's no bueno.
Did you work in a hospital before you were a nurse?
I did.
You were PCA?
I worked as a PCA while I was in nursing school.
What floor?
I actually worked in postpartum at Albany Med, so I was like a fake PCA, but I got floated a lot because I worked night shift, so the nurses did a lot of like the PCA stuff on night shift. So I would get floated throughout the hospital to do one-on-one protocol sits.
Nice.
Yeah.
Stay in your chair.
Yeah.
Do not make me abuse my power.
Yeah. I had no power. Most of them were like really mentally unstable. Like I had one guy that I remember very clearly. I texted Nate. It was like 3 a.m. I woke him up. I didn't even care. And I was like, this person just woke up out of a sound sleep, sat straight up, looked at me and went, death comes in three. First, it was my father. Now it's me. And next is you. Oh, and then just laid back down. And I was like, I'm going to die. Ugh. Like, game over. I'm done. I quit. So I texted Nate and was like, well, it's been fun. I love you. I don't know what's going to happen to me.
Wow.
Yeah. That's...
I had somebody like that once. She was like pale white, like pale.
Like Casper pale?
No, like legit, with like jet black hair. And they'd come to the lab from the psych unit.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty quiet. I was just like doing my thing. I had the door open a little bit because that was kind of our protocol when we had somebody from there. And I was getting ready to start the test. I had like turned down the light and it was just like the dim light on. And she's just like, we like locked eyes. And she was like, I know when I'm going to die now. And I was like, ha, 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 ha.
I'm uncomfy.
Can you close your eyes for me? And leave them closed.
She's like, no, if I close them, I'm not going to open them again.
Well, that's your problem. I just want to get through these next 45 minutes. Yeah, so it's wild. It's crazy stories.
Yeah.
So healthcare. Why?
It's a really good question.
And I'm not even going to like point you in a specific direction. You can answer however you want to.
Okay, so.
Why are you in it? Why does this suck?
Did not want to be a nurse initially. Like that was never my initial like career path. I wanted to be a vet. I was like dead set on being a vet from the time I was a little girl. And so my first year of college, I went away to SUNY Cobleskill, lived on a farm for a year.
Nice. Oh yeah. You were telling us a story about that, weren't you?
Yeah. It was awful. I, you know, wanted to work with like small household animals. Like I wanted to work with dogs and cats and the occasional like chinchilla or whatever. I don't know.
Bunny rabbits.
And then I was dealing with cows and pigs and sheep. And like, it was just not for me. I remember one of my first like tech classes, we had to cut piglets' teeth. Because they're super sharp, so we had to like literally take pliers and like break their teeth. Ugh. And the squeals that these little piglets let out, I was like, yeah, no, I'm done. And there were a lot of other like personal factors that factored into why I left SUNY and came home. But in the process of all that happening, my grandmother was diagnosed with kidney cancer. I was actually right around this time of the year because we had Thanksgiving dinner in the hospital. And she had an emergency nephrectomy. So she had her kidney removed. And I remember like watching the nurses and being like, oh, I think this is something that I would enjoy.
And my grandma's not squealing.
And she's, you know. And so I, after some contemplation, went home and looked into nursing programs and decided to apply. Did a year of general studies at Maria, like with intent for nursing. And then in 2014, started my journey to where I am now.
Which is?
A very tired nurse.
How many places have you worked?
Oh, God.
You've worked in clinic, like inpatient nursing. Have you done outpatient?
stuff? I have not done outpatient clinic. Okay. I've done home care.
Okay.
Hospital is like my longest. I worked at AMC for about 4 years after nursing school. Also was teaching at the same time. Did home care, and then I'm back at the bedside.
Did we run into each other at the hospital?
One time.
One time?
One time. We were on C3 East.
Okay.
And I actually think that we also sat on the bus that morning together.
Yeah.
Because, so at Albany Med, the employees aren't allowed to park in the garage. They have to park in these shuttle lots and then take these shuttle buses to the hospital every morning.
And pay $15 a pay period for that privilege.
It's insane. Oh. And it was like the middle of winter. And so all these employees are literally like lined up in the parking lot. Freezing in the snow, waiting for these shuttle buses with no heat to come by and pick you up. Ugh. And nobody wants to talk to anybody that early in the morning. It's like 6:30. And so I'm sitting there and all of a sudden this dude starts talking to me. And I'm like, who the hell is talking to me?
Oh, I vividly remember this now.
And we were talking about the seating arrangements at mine and Nate's soon to be wedding.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm just going to leave it at that.
That's why we were sat so far away from you guys, because I talked to you at 6:30 in the morning.
Exactly. I actually wanted to uninvite you from the wedding at that point.
I wish you would have.
You talked to me way too early.
I wish you would have.
I wish I would have too.
We would have freed up a night to do something fun.
I know.
What?
I agree.
Yeah. Maybe your next wedding will be more fun.
Oof. Pay no attention to him, Clemmy. You're a sweet boy.
Now, if anything happens to you guys, I'll stay friends with you over Clemmy. Don't worry.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. You get me in the breakup.
I feel special.
You should.
I do.
Yep. Because I've never seen you wear sunglasses backwards on your head.
You know, I actually was debating before I got out of my car. I was like, do I put my sunglasses on backwards and walk
cut
into
you.
His house?
I will cut
that
you.
That would have been hilarious.
Podcast canceled.
I was really
not just
debating.
This episode, the entire podcast.
The entire thing.
Would be canceled.
The entire thing.
Yeah. Do you have a preference to like where you work in healthcare? Like I know like when I was at the hospital, like there were certain floors I was like vibing with I could go to, and other floors I'd be like, why in God's green earth do you have to send me there?
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with these people.
Yeah. So where I am now, I enjoy because I work with babies now.
Yeah.
And so like my patients can't throw things at me and they can't like verbally abuse me and physically abuse me. So like that's cool. But their parents can. And like that happens sometimes. When I was working with adults, the vascular floors, absolutely not. Like I got floated there a couple times, and like if I had a 5-patient assignment, my patients combined maybe had like 3.5 legs, and it made things really difficult.
Those floors also tend to smell the worst.
They do. Ew. Smells don't bother me, though. I am somebody who is very, like, immune to smells. However, when I was working hospice, I got hit with a couple smells that, like, almost made me vom in my mask. That was really bad.
Smells bother me, but it's not the worst thing. Because, like, smells you can just kind of overcome. You put a little of that toothpaste
mask. Yeah.
The thing that would always get me when I'd go to, like, the ICUs is the sound of suctioning. I can't do it. Like,
suctioning is my absolute least favorite nursing skill.
The viscosity of what comes out of people and the tone that it makes when it's just vacuumed out of somebody's inside. I was just like, and, like, I'd be at the head of the ICU bed putting on the electrodes, and then they'd come and suction, and I'd just be like, and I'd be like, oh, God.
You got to see the lung butter.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah,
lung butter.
That's what I used to call it when I was teaching. And I was teaching suctioning. Wild. I'd be like, you get to remove the lung
butter. That's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
It is.
Woof.
Yeah. Suctioning was my absolute least favorite thing. Still is. I mean, we don't do it unless my kid's like on a ventilator, but yeah.
Far less common.
Far less common.
I definitely like working with kids more.
Yeah.
Parents didn't really bother me because like I wasn't stuck with parents for a whole shift like you. I would go in for like an hour and a half tops.
Be like, bye.
I remember one time I went to go do a test on a baby, like a 3-month-old, maybe 2-month-old. And it was early in the morning and the mom was just asleep. Baby was in the crib. And so I like woke mom up so she didn't like wake up to a stranger attaching things to her.
Right.
And I was like, so if you want to hold her, and she's like, nah, and went back to bed. Sleep. So I was like, I held the baby in one arm and like put all the electrodes on with the other arm. And I was like, the dumbest thing I've ever had to do. I should have just made the parent wake up. I didn't make you get knocked up. Hold your baby.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah. I didn't do that.
You were a nice boy.
Yeah.
That day.
Which also, that reminds me, at your house last week, Zach was measuring Miles' head.
Oh,
if he ever had to do one.
My kid has
He's like, I still got it.
He's got a perfect head.
He's got a big head.
He's got just enough hair, the way his head props up.
Okay, but you saw him last week, and so he's lost a lot of hair since then.
Since then?
As long as there's still some hair.
There is.
I don't like bald.
Babies, he's not bald.
Bald babies and me never got along. Something about their head, their skin, it's hard to get like the connections with. So a little bit of hair.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
And then...
Think, no hair would be better.
I would also think... No hair is
it
easier.
Just specifically babies because their heads?
No, old like older dudes who are bald, but that's just from like the leathery texture.
Wrinkly.
Yeah. Neonates are also very hard to get.
They're impossible to do anything.
So like we'd use acetone sometimes just to get it down, and then the babies would like inhale the acetone because you can't tell it, and then they'd cry, and then they'd throw up, and be like, honest to God, I don't know what happened.
Just kidding, I do. Yeah.
But yeah, no, he's got a nice noggin.
He does.
Yeah.
He's got a round head.
But something tells me he would have to be held up in the air for me to do the test and not laid down on anything.
He doesn't like to lay down. Yeah.
God bless him.
He doesn't.
So one thing I don't know the answer to about you, and this is something that even Lex is allowed to answer, because this doesn't even pertain to working in healthcare.
Okay.
Like, what are like, I'm not even going to say top one, but top few disdains of healthcare. Like, what can't you stand about it?
Number one is lack of staffing.
Okay.
That's number one. The main reason I left Albany Med when I was there was because I literally went in every day feeling like I was going to lose my license. The last day, I had been, like, toying with... leaving. I had dropped down to per diem at that point, and so I wasn't really there much anyway, but I walked in. It was a weekend, and our unit was 16 beds, and there was me and Josh was one of our weekend track nurses, and it was literally just me and Josh, and our unit was full. And so I worked transplant at that point. And we got a call from our transplant coordinator. They were like, hey, we have somebody coming in for pre-op. Book them into the hallway. And so then we were getting a 17th patient, and it was just the two of us. And so neither one of us could leave the floor for a break because we couldn't leave one person with 17 patients. And nursing supervision came up to do their rounds to like check on us and see how we were doing. And I was trying to like shove a piece of pizza or something into my face while I was charting at the nurse's station. And the supervisor yelled at me for eating at the nurse's station. And so I literally looked at her and I was like, you know what? I'm not coming back. And she tried really hard to like backpedal and be like, no, what do you mean you're not coming back? Like, what can I do?
That's the most baller story I've ever heard about.
And
keep going.
So I was like, nope, decision made. Like, as of 7:30 tonight, like, consider this my resignation. I'm not coming back. And then my assistant nurse manager happened to like come in for something. And I was like, oh, perfect. You're here. Here's my notice. Like, I'm not coming back. And she was like, okay. Like, I don't blame you. And I was like, great. Even if you did, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
Like, decision made.
I think that's,
so, yeah.
Not to cut you off, we're going to get back to your other reasons, but like, it's not, obviously I have a disdain for, it's not really healthcare. It's definitely like the administration of healthcare and the soullessness behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't even want to use that term loosely because I don't think it should be used loosely.
No.
But like that story right there, you're on a 1-8.5 ratio eating pizza And some people are probably going to think you're exaggerating the situation.
Yeah.
And you're dumb if you think that and stop.
Yeah, I'm not.
But no, she's not exaggerating it. Like, it's just, I struggle to put it into words. They expect less to do more because they don't have the staff. And it's not necessarily their fault, but it also kind of is their fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
it's all about money.
Yeah.
Like, healthcare is just, it's a business.
Yeah.
And the people
which
who
it is
work,
a business.
It is.
And you can recognize it as a business, but there's businesses that make money.
Right.
And still provide
it can be a business
services.
That runs well with quality care, but it's not right now.
And we'll get into that a little bit later. But what else?
At least for me, and I know a lot of people who work in healthcare will disagree with me on this, and that's fine because each person, you know, has their own preferences. But like, the schedule for me is just not it. Like, I'm away from home 3 days a week, and people are like, oh, that's great. You work 3 days and you have 4 days off. Like, that's better than everybody else who works five and has 2 days off. But, you know, on the days that I work, I don't see my family.
Yeah.
Because I get up at 5:30, my kids are sleeping. I leave, I go to work for 12, 13 hours, and I come home and my kids are sleeping.
Yeah.
So, and if I work 3 days in a row, like, that's 3 days that I don't see my family. Yeah. So, and it's almost impossible to find a position unless you're working like an outpatient clinic, or you want to work insurance from home, which is also like impossible to find right now. For me, as somebody with young kids, like, I hate the schedule. It sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's another strong dislike.
And I feel like even when you're not working, you're exhausted from working.
Yeah.
So it's not even like you're fully able to enjoy.
It takes me a day to like recoup from. And if I have like a super emotional day at work, which happens fairly frequently working where I work, then like, I'm emotionally exhausted.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's hard.
Lex, what do you not like about healthcare? Lex loves healthcare, apparently. Everything
She's all for it.
It's working so great.
It's amazing.
I don't know if it's necessarily healthcare. It's more so the insurance side of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's still...
Yeah.
That's the biggest part of healthcare.
Which I guess I didn't even realize how bad it was until we got married.
Until you came along.
And then I was like, oh,
wow.
When
you made her marry me?
They don't actually care about anybody unless you're healthy. Mm-hmm.
What's your strongest dislike?
I mean, I have a few, so I'll just rattle them off in no specific way. One I kind of already touched upon is the administration part of it.
I
don't want to say money mill.
But it
kind of is. They're trying to make the most money per transaction, which is what patients are, is our transactions. And then you can say on the flip side of that, well, they have to do that because insurance companies reimburse less than they're supposed to, which they obviously do. So the hospitals charge more, then the insurance companies just pay less, and it's a never-ending cycle. I absolutely hate insurance companies that dictate, you know, a doctor says we need this done. And granted, there's plenty of doctors who abuse the system of we need this, 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 and this when the patient doesn't. The fact that they have authority to do that from somebody who's like a healthcare professional, and I'm going to put it in quotes, even though they're healthcare professionals that review everything, they don't know everything.
Right.
And like, there's certain codes I have to attach billing to for my tests.
Yep.
And some of them aren't approved billing codes, but they might, but they need it.
Right.
Like, they still need the test. And so we end up putting it under a general billing code. And then more and more insurance companies like, well, you have to be more specific. Like,
I'm trying to be.
The people that
you
need,
won't let me.
The people that need this test, we're doing it because there's not specific reasons. Mm-hmm. We're trying to rule things out.
Right.
Like, if somebody has epilepsy, congratulations. If they have a seizure and have epilepsy, okay.
Right.
Something went wrong.
We know the cause.
And we can figure it out. That's great. They don't need the test. If somebody, you know, I'm not going to explain the symptoms and cause mass hysteria among people that listen to this. If they have a certain set of symptoms and I go to bill for those symptoms, they're not the right code.
Right.
And then the insurance company's like, yeah, we're not going to pay for that. I'm like,
that's so crazy.
So you just want me to throw seizure-like activity in their chart under, but you don't like, it's asinine.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Asinine. Or the fact that my diabetes supplies, like the infusion sets,
are typically not covered by insurance.
Well, they get billed under a certain way. They get billed under durable medical equipment, and all insurance companies include the pump sites.
Yep.
I have to remember the phrasing of this. They consider them single use, which is technically true. I can only put it in once.
Right.
But I deliver insulin through it.
Constantly.
Constantly. And like a needle, they'd pay for multiple. It's crazy.
Yep.
So all of my frustrations currently are on like the insurance side because I left the hospital and I work in a private practice office now where my schedule is 8 to 4:30, no nights, weekends, or holidays. Yep. And I know what I'm in for the day before. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what other people think about private practice and whatever, it's wonderful for me and my life. So, and that's the other thing. This is going off on a little tangent, but like a job's just a job. You're not put on this planet to do a job. It shouldn't be your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, administration at where I worked at in Albany Med told me, you know, I have to put patients before my family and my own personal happiness.
No.
I was like, cool. Yeah. No. I don't.
No. No. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
If you don't bend your no. Okay. We got really negative here.
We did.
So I'm gonna whirl with this. What is your favorite part about your job currently?
My job currently?
Yeah. We're gonna start there.
Okay. I love NICU graduations.
Yeah.
They're my favorite thing in the entire world. We have babies that, you know, are born at 26 weeks, which, you know, is 14 weeks early. And so
quick maths.
What?
I said quick maths.
Quick maths. I do it all the time. Yeah. So, you know, they're with us for 3, 4, sometimes longer months. And so we, you know, really get to know the families and get to know the baby. And when they finally grow up and, you know, each little milestone that they hit is a big deal. So whether it's like coming off of respiratory support or finally taking a bottle or breastfeeding for the first time, like all those little things are like huge for us. And then on the day that they go home, we literally put them in like a little cap and gown.
Oh my gosh.
For like NICU graduation.
That's so cute.
And take pictures. And it's just a lot of fun and it's really rewarding. So that's definitely my favorite part of where I am now.
Aww.
That's cute.
It is cute.
Little babies
it is
with
cute.
Caps. Yeah. Caps and gowns.
Yeah. Tiny little caps and gowns.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's cool.
See? There's good parts about healthcare
there
too,
are
everybody.
Good parts of healthcare.
And
it's
I feel
not
like
all bad.
The patient care part of healthcare is the good part.
Yeah.
The restrictions placed on the patient care of healthcare are
the bad parts.
Yeah.
For sure.
That being said, not every patient is nice.
That's very
you don't
true.
Always want to do your job.
That's very true.
Lex, what's your favorite part about me being in healthcare?
I don't think I have one.
You have to have one. Is it that I'm paranoid about everything?
I don't think that has anything to do with you being in healthcare.
I think that's just your personality.
Yeah. It's just you.
I'm a product of my environment. I got paranoid.
I think
after 7 years.
Yeah. I think in your job now, it's how less stressed you are. Like you would come home from the hospital and be miserable and like already dread going back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Or like still be on edge not knowing if someone was going to call you, even if you weren't on call, because they called him all the time to be like, oh, we have a question.
I didn't realize that you were on call in that position at the hospital. Mm.
Yeah, originally it was like a week at a time, so like Monday to Monday.
Okay.
So we'd work our day shifts and then evenings and nights you'd take call. I would try and give it away as much as possible because like my anxiety was bad, and then it was through the roof there. Like I wouldn't let her use the oven because the preheat sound sounded like my pager. Mm. So like we couldn't use the oven.
Like if I used the microwave, I had to stop it before it beeped.
If we were watching shows and I got paged, like we couldn't watch that show anymore. Like my anxiety was crazy.
I get that.
I can honestly say, and I don't know, if you think I'm lying, try me. Yeah. I can probably remember with accuracy 80% of the times I got called in. And I can probably tell you 100%. About 95% of the rooms, even if I don't remember the patient. I can remember the room and the circumstance in which I got paged.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's times we're sitting here like watching a show and he's like, oh, I remember we were watching this episode and I got paged and I had to go and do this and this. And I was like,
it's crazy. On call is a beast.
Yeah.
It's a beast. Mm-hmm.
And like some people, it was worth the money for them.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy that it was worth the money for them. I've always fallen back to one of the doctors when I first got hired there told me that the hospital can buy our time and you can never buy it back. And like I said before, it's just a job. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to work really hard while I'm there. And like I said, like she said, I took calls and texts from coworkers, residents, whomever, after hours. I talked to them. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But goodness.
Yeah.
My anxiety was bad. Yeah. And I think even if I was still there, I probably never would have handled my anxiety like I have since I shifted out of that environment.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been nice.
Yeah.
And having to not think about, oh, do you have to work Christmas this year?
Yeah.
Are you going to miss this event? That's been really nice.
Yeah, that's for me.
Yep. I could go through and tell I could just go through stories and stories. It'd been like stupid things, as I'm sure you could.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to take up time to do that.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part about where I am right now, I get to see a lot of like repeat people because I work in the office. So I see them at their follow-ups and stuff, even if it's just in passing.
Yeah.
And so I get to develop more of a relationship with the patients, which I enjoy. Yeah. Like in the hospital, we very rarely... Okay, not rarely, but we do a lot of repeat testing, but there were 10 of us, so it could get assigned to anybody.
Right.
I did get requested a lot by
little kids.
Of course.
I loved kids. Yeah. That's the only thing I miss about where I am now is I don't work with kids that much.
Okay.
So I like that aspect of this, and it's just I have kind of my own autonomy there. Like I can shift my schedule as I need to. Like I'm there 8 to 4:30, but if I need to see somebody a little later in the afternoon, instead of doing it at like 1 o'clock, I can push it back so they have to take less time off work.
Okay.
Which doesn't sound like a big deal.
No, it's a big deal.
Until you realize I was supposed to get an MRI in September, but I pushed it back to December because I didn't have any time off to go make sure the thing in my brain isn't growing.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So being able to do that for people is just nice. Like, you can't come in at 2 o'clock? Sure. Listen, I leave at 4:30, but if you can be here by 3:45,
we can do it then.
We'll smash it out really quick. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Ready for a hot one?
Oh, boy. I don't know, am I?
Why don't we just socialize medicine, Gabby? Why don't we do it? What's wrong with socialized medicine? Are you a proponent of it? Yes or no?
I'm like split. I'm for it in some instances and I'm against it.
I will say I'm with you.
I think that everybody deserves healthcare.
Yes.
And if you have, you know, awful insurance that, you know, doesn't really cover anything and you're footing the bill for a lot of it, that's crappy. Especially if you are somebody who is like chronically ill or, you know, you really need these services, I think you should be able to receive them and maybe not have to pay for them. On the flip side, there is a crap ton of people who would abuse that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, you just threw out MRI. So, you know, let's just say that we have somebody who needs an MRI pretty emergently, but everybody can get an MRI. So now there's a wait list and, you know, you need one that's emergent, but you can't get one for 2 months.
Yep.
Because there's a list mm-hmm. and a line mm-hmm. in front of you.
Yep.
I'm not about that.
No.
So I'm very split.
Like Italy has socialized medicine. Yeah. Canada has social. So
Ireland does.
There's somebody I know who comes to America like once a month to work. They're from another country that has socialized medicine.
Okay.
And they, not that I think anybody who knows a person is actually listens to this anyway. But so that's the only reason I'm being vague.
Yeah.
While they were here, they work in healthcare, by the way.
Okay.
And they felt like they were showing signs of like neurological deficit. And so had one of their friends check them out. Got an MRI, glioblastoma, I think it was, or something like that. Yeah. And you know, they don't have insurance because they're from another country.
Right.
And so trying to get that person healthcare here is miserable. Oh, and you have a lot of people who are very high up in trying to do what they can for the person. Mm-hmm. I'm only assuming getting pushback from administrations sure. and mm-hmm. things like that. Cause who wants to shell out,
of course,
you know, what they could bill probably close to $500,000 for all things considered.
Oh yeah.
But then on the flip side, if the person was back in their country, they'd be dead before
100%.
They even mm-hmm. knew about this. So I don't think what we're doing is the best healthcare system.
No.
I don't think socialized medicine is the perfect healthcare system either.
Yeah.
Cause do you want to live and have to pay hand over fist, or do you want to be dead?
Right.
Mm. I don't know.
What is the happy medium?
Yeah. And we'll never find it.
No.
Everything's too broke. We'd have to abolish the FDA. We'd have to abolish any government agency, the CMS.
CDC.
Yeah. Really abolish everything and work from the ground up. So, like, do you ever lay awake at night thinking, how do we fix what's wrong with healthcare?
Frequently.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to take on.
Mm-hmm.
I think about it like once every so often.
Especially when I was working in my first job, when I was working transplant, I thought about that a lot. Because there are just so many issues. Just so many issues. And like, these poor people have so many hoops to jump through. And something that could be easier is not. And I just, it does. It keeps me awake sometimes. Like, this sucks. Like, we are the most, like, advanced country, if you will. And we have, well, don't look at me like that. But like you said, we're broken.
This was a tad more depressing than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I should have known when we were like, let's talk about our like thoughts on healthcare, that it was going to end up this way, though.
Yeah, all bad.
We just need, more people who want to do good
mm-hmm.
in high positions.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. like, people like you, we could have a million yous, a million Nurse Gabbies, kind-hearted and strong working, and it wouldn't make a difference.
No. Yep. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. And it's frustrating because, you know, the people that are in these higher positions typically started where I did. They started as staff nurses. And then they work their way up into management, and they work their way up into like the CNO positions. And all of a sudden, we're nothing. And, you know, we mean nothing, but we're the ones that are, you know, I hate using this term, but like, we're the front lines.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, you know, I could drop dead today and my position would be posted before my body's even cold.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't care.
Everybody's replaceable.
Like, we are so disposable, you know, going back to COVID, like, we were heroes and, you know, blah, blah, blah. They don't give a shit about us.
Yep.
Hey,
nobody does.
I'm sure you got a nice pizza party.
We did.
For all your work.
We did. We got really, good cold cafeteria pizza.
Aren't a bunch of people supposed to be getting like a buttload of money from New York this coming year for like working through COVID? Isn't that a thing?
I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. But I don't see it happening.
I don't qualify for it, but yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Everybody, send a handwritten letter to Governor Hochul. Tell
good old Kathy.
Tell her that Gabby needs more money.
Yeah. Gabby's broke.
Aren't we all? No. But like you just said, though, because I don't want to stray too far from it, the people who end up in the CNO positions, the chief nursing officer.
Yes.
Correct? Yeah.
Yes.
Started out, like you said, where you were. Mm-hmm. And I have to believe that it's not all a personal thing that they lost touch with where they started. I think a lot of it is they're just victims of the healthcare system.
Oh, sure.
And I'm sure none of them enjoy making bad or tough decisions.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of them do. Some of them actually don't care about people, yeah. But I'm sure most of them do care about staff and patients,
sure.
But their hands are tied by policies, procedures.
And they're higher ups.
Yeah.
You know, they have
so
to.
You can only do so much.
And the same thing goes with like nursing supervision. So like it doesn't really apply to me.
That's got to be the worst job.
I would never. Like it doesn't really apply to me now because we are like the women and children's division is very like specific. So if we need additional staff and like another unit is overstaffed, like we just float like throughout the department. But when I was at AMC, like supervision was in charge of, you know, allocating where the float nurses went. And so if we were super short and we had, you know, 4 or 5 fresh transplant patients who should have been strict one-to-one because they're ICU level care, supervision would come by and be like, you got 5 bodies, you're fine. Like, you don't need another nurse, so we're going to send them somewhere else. Yikes. And like, there was just no, like, they don't take into account acuity. And so we're breaking our backs and risking our license. And those jobs are just, I don't envy them at all, but it's super frustrating to watch them from the staff nurse position and watch them make poor choice after poor choice.
Yeah.
And it's just crappy.
We're livening it back up here for a second. Now, take into account everything you've said.
It's a lot.
Your whole nursing history.
Yeah.
And then think about Alpina.
Oh, God.
And Dobby. Yes. And Porsche. And Coda and Sloan. Do you wish you had stuck it through vet school to work with these idiots?
Honestly, no. Because veterinary medicine deals with the same crap that we do. They are wildly understaffed, and vets actually have the highest suicide rate.
Really?
Like, their profession has the highest suicide rate. Crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I don't think I would. I think I've dealt with a lot of crap, and it's been a really trying 6.5 years, but I would probably, I mean, if I was going to go back and like start all over again, I think I would veer away from healthcare completely.
Oh, same.
Like, no animals, no humans. Like, I would, I don't know what I would do, but it would not be this.
Yeah.
Like, it would not be this.
If 31-year-old Zach could go back to 16-year-old Zach, yeah, and be like, you should go down a different road.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What road that is, I don't know, but I would do some more research into my options.
Yeah, what would you do? Do you have any ideas?
He'd be a professional podcast host.
He would.
I mean, honestly, I would probably do something along those lines. Either like, I don't know, because it's easy to say that.
Yeah.
But there are crappy jobs in every occupation.
Absolutely.
That people wind up in. And I know people who are like in TV and or like they are movie producers,
yep,
and you know, and they're like, yeah, it just sucks,
yeah,
sometimes because you know, I can't get funding for this or funding for that. And there's dreams and things I want to make. But like right now, if I had to say something, I would probably do, it would either be like something in public speaking mixed with, I don't even want to say education, because I wouldn't want to do like high school education or something like that. It would definitely be something with public speaking. Okay. Not politics. Nah. I don't know what it would be, but I would start there.
Okay.
I'd start there.
I could see that.
Yeah. You're a good speaker.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He also really likes
it's my to favorite
hear
himself thing.
Talk. He does like to hear himself talk. Very true.
But I hate the sound of my own voice, so it's really hard.
I just don't believe
it. I feel like that doesn't go hand in hand. Like, you can't.
Listening to my voice back is one of the worst things that I do. Lex, if you had to go back and tell 16-year-old Lex to do something with her life, what would it be?
What? How dare you?
What?
She loves her job.
I love my job.
I know,
job.
But if you had to pick something else.
Oh, I have no idea. I think about that sometimes because I'm like, am I going to want to do this forever? But I'm like, I don't know what I would even do. So, I don't know. But okay. I like where I'm at, so.
Don't ask me. I don't know. You trying to figure
I'm
out what
come
I would
up
do?
With, yeah.
Okay. Wow, this is really intense.
It is. Wow. I got a few options brewing right now.
Okay. Option one.
Option one is flight attendant.
I hate flying. Absolutely not. I am a horrible flyer.
Yeah, but if you had decided at a young age.
I've always hated flying.
Okay.
Terrible.
Why?
You hate flying too.
I'm not picking for me.
Oh, geez. But you're like questioning why she hates flying.
I am always somebody like I get on the plane and I'm like, all right, this is it. Like, this is how I die. The plane.
Oh my god!
Like, I am always like such a pessimist. I like when Nate and I were coming home from our honeymoon. If I'm on a plane, I have to be sitting on the wing. Like, I have to be by an emergency door. Like, I have to be like middle of the plane. That's where I have to be to feel like somewhat comfortable. And we were taking off. We were coming home from Florida. And we took off during some, like, not great weather. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great. And we're, like, climbing. And all of a sudden, like, it felt and sounded like the engine shut off.
Ugh.
And the plane, like, dipped a little bit. And I looked at Nate, and he was like, it's okay. Like, everything's fine. Like, the pilots know what they're doing. And I was like, No, it's not okay. And he was like, it's fine. And then it like kicked back on and the flight was like, you know, uneventful from that point on. And we were landing and Nate goes, yeah, I thought we were going to die. And I go, you told me it was fine. He goes, what else was I going to say?
It's like Lex wakes like, me up when there's, well, not anymore, but she used to wake me up when there was turbulence. She's like, hold my hand. I'm like, me being awake when the plane goes down isn't going to stop
it. I don't know how he can do it, though. Like, we'll, like, get on.
I can't.
Before we even take off, he's asleep. I'm like,
I wish.
I think
it's, and I don't mind flying, but I don't like turbulence.
I hate
and
it.
He's just like, whatever.
It's definitely an anxiety thing. You don't want to get anxious.
Yeah,
sleep.
That's true.
So I'm just like, all right, if I go to sleep, nothing bad can happen to my knowledge.
That's fair. All right, option number two.
You'd be the head of the party planning committee. No.
Do not compare me to Angela.
No, that's not a comparison. I'm just telling you, you would be the head of it.
Okay.
You'd be the new head.
Okay. Nothing orange, though. Because orange is a whorish color.
Says the one married to Clementine.
Fair.
Kids, don't get into healthcare.
The moral of today's story.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Like when I have patients and they tell me they want to be doctors, I just please don't do it.
Mm-mm.
I say, you gotta hate your life.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you everybody for listening to this episode of the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. I am very sorry that my co-host wasn't with me. He'll be back on the next few, and we'll never take another vacation again. I can personally guarantee it.
No fired. Time off.
Thank you, Gabby, for
you
know, taking some of your free time, which is few and far between, and coming to talk about some very depressing things.
Yeah.
Some happy things.
Some.
Let's end with just a quick remembrance of the NICU graduation, babies in caps and gowns.
Yeah. Yay. Nice little babies.
Yeah. So I'll leave you guys with that. Yeah. Keep looking out for more episodes. And follow us if you don't already so you can stay up to date on all the episodes. And when Gabby's husband, Clementine, finally launches his podcast, I will make sure to make an announcement so you guys can check his stuff out. I don't want to spoil anything, but the first episode is going to be fantastic. All right. Thanks for listening. See you next time.